You know, on Sunday evenings, we actually have quite a bit of fun. And these two guys here remind me of a couple of guys that lead songs on Sunday night. I think that they go by Gray and Chet. And they banter back and forth a little bit as well. And these guys are also pictured on the front of the bulletin that you had today. And these are two of my favorite Muppet characters. And I thought that because today was Vintage Sunday, that we would go back a little ways. I know that this is vintage because our secretary, who's in her mid-20s, had no idea who this was. And so now I feel real old because I grew up on these guys. So this is Statler and Waldorf, and they are two disagreeable old men who first appeared in the television series The Muppet Show and heckled the rest of the cast from their balcony seats. They appeared in all but one episode of the show, and they found themselves vastly entertaining and inevitably burst into mutual laughter at their own witticisms, though they would on several occasions heckle each other too. Despite constantly complaining about the show and how terrible some acts were, they would always be back the following week in the best seats in the house. As to why? Well, the original version of the Muppet Show theme song had the pair admitting, "Why do we always come here? I guess we'll never know. It's kind of like a torture to have to watch the show." They don't really know why they were there either. Please tell me you guys remember the jingle at least. Oh, okay, good, yeah. Could have helped and sang along. That would have been a... Appreciate that. If they were in the church balcony today, we might hear some of their heckling. And so here's a sample. Did you like that number? Speak up, my hearing aid is busted. Did you like that number? I like what I heard. What did you hear? Nothing. Everybody together. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, let's try one more here. The guy at the piano can sure sing. I can sing pretty good too. What? Sure, do you want to hear me sing? Only if you sing tenor. Tenor? As in 10 or 11 miles away from here. Ha, 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 ha. You guys got to work on the cue there for the laughter. I had considered using a laugh track today because just to make sure that there was actually somebody laughing at the jokes. Well, this morning, I want to speak with you about wisdom, but not of the worldly, wise-cracking wisdom like the likes of Waldorf and Statler. They will serve to us as an example of the antithesis of true wisdom. Certainly, they are old wise guys, but that is a far cry from being a wise old guy. Some assume that age and experience results in wisdom. But the Bible tells us something different than that. Age and experience does not automatically give somebody wisdom. Wisdom can be exercised by somebody regardless of their age. When we talk about wisdom, we often think of one of the wisest men in the Bible, King Solomon. Solomon's wisdom is world-renowned, but he was relatively young when he received wisdom from God. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 7, Solomon says to God, "You have made me your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties." Solomon was just established as the king of Israel when he said those words. In fact, it is so early in his reign that it is found in the first chapter of 1 Chronicles, the Chronicles of the Kings. And so 1 Chronicles, chapter 1, verse 7 to 12, tells us the rest of the story of that night that God appears to Solomon in a dream and asks him that infamous question. So if you're following along in your Bibles, 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7 says, "That night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, 'Ask for whatever you want me to give you.'" That's a pretty open-ended request, pretty open-ended thing for God to provide to, or sorry, if you're looking in 1 Chronicles, that's David. 2 Chronicles is Solomon. Sorry, I just saw somebody saying, did he say first or second? 2 Chronicles, ignore the screen. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7 to 12. That's the story of Solomon. So God asks this open-ended question. Now, I think that Solomon already had a measure of wisdom, because this is kind of like rubbing the genie's lamp. You can have whatever you want. What would be your first wish? Well, for many people, they think of material possessions, or they think of fame, fortune, these kinds of things. Solomon, already in his whatever wisdom he has, answers this. Solomon answered God. This is verse 8. "You have shown great kindness to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed, for you have made me king over a people who are numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours?" Give me wisdom and knowledge. Anything that you want, Solomon, I'll have wisdom and knowledge. And God said to Solomon in verse 11, "Since this is your heart's desire, and you have not asked for wealth, possessions, or honor, or for the death of your enemies, or to pound your neighbor, and since you have not asked for a long life, but for wisdom and knowledge, it will be given you. And I will also give you wealth." Now, these are things that he didn't ask for. But God says, because you have asked for wisdom, I will also give you wealth, possessions, honor, such as no king who was before you before you ever had, and none after you will have. And that's the truth. We've seen that played out in history as we hear tales of the treasures of Solomon. He amassed great wealth, expanded the borders of Israel, and filled the coffers of Israel like no other king before, no other king after. And still today, thousands of years after his reign, people still talk about Solomon's wisdom and Solomon's treasure. Solomon went on to live out the fulfillment of God's promise to him. And not only did he become famous and wealthy and a great king, he also wrote a good portion of the books of wisdom in the Bible. The first 9 chapters of Proverbs are dedicated to encouraging the reader to embrace wisdom and to turn from folly. He takes 9 chapters at the beginning of Proverbs to say why wisdom is so important. And then the remaining 20 chapters that he writes are all about the wisdom that he wants to impart. So first part of the book is, wisdom is so important. Seek it out. Second portion of the book, the next 2/3 of the book, is the wisdom in which he wants to impart. The purpose statement of Proverbs is found in the second verse. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 2. And he says this, what you're about to read is for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight. Solomon then personifies and describes wisdom in feminine terms throughout those 9 verses. And so he talks about she and her and in terms of a woman. For instance, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13 to 18 reads this, "Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. The writings of Solomon are full of wisdom and instruction and how to attain wisdom. He holds wisdom as the highest virtue to strive for, saying that wisdom is supreme, knowing that once wisdom is attained, the other desires of life will follow. From the first few chapters of Proverbs, here are some familiar words of wisdom. You've probably heard this before. In fact, I heard these words of wisdom before I could read the Bible. They were familiar to me, and I was surprised to find them in Proverbs as I read through Proverbs. 2 verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Or Proverbs chapter 2 verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Now, to be honest, I actually only remember the first part of that verse being quoted to me, because I grew up in a classical Pentecostal family, and we had no need for vats of wine to be overflowing. What do Waldorf and Slater say to that? Let's see if they're going to pop. There we go. What do you think of the preacher's jokes? Well, they aren't half bad. That's for sure. They're all bad. The hecklers. And then again in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining brighter till the full light of day. Learned that as a song before I read it from Scripture. Or Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Did you have somebody in your life that quoted these Proverbs to you? Somebody who would recite them to you, or when there was difficult things in your life, they would quote something along those lines? Well, I came from a family that of pastors. My parents were pastors, and my grandparents were pastors. And so often I would hear these words being passed on to me in my young age. You see, the world believes that wisdom comes from experience and the school of hard knocks. Unfortunately, that belief means that one is destined to fail before they can succeed. That you have to blow it before you can make it. Or that you have to make mistakes in order to learn from them. And that true success is predicated by trial and error. Sounds like a hard way to become successful if you have to fail first. I was speaking to one student about some very bad decisions that they were making in their life recently. Their response to me was this: well, I think it's better to make all my mistakes in life when I'm young, so I'll be smarter when I get older. What? This is the wisdom that is being passed on by the world to the generation that is coming up. Think of the quote by Magic Johnson when he says, every basket that I make in a game, for every basket I make in a game, there's 100 misses on the court, our practice court. Or every failure is falling forward so that I can succeed. This kind of idea that in order to become wise, you've got to make mistakes. You've got to blow it. You've got to experience the pain of making bad decisions. This is the wisdom of the world. But biblical wisdom says we don't need to learn by making mistakes first. Instead, Solomon would say, turn your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. So the Bible gives us the wisdom that the world is looking for without the pain of trial and error and mistakes and failure. I've seen this true in my own life as, again, coming from a rich spiritual heritage in my family. Thank God for godly grandparents and godly parents who spoke into my life from when I was a young man. And so when I came to the age when my friends were beginning to become promiscuous, which was shockingly at grade 6, my parents pulled me aside and said, let's give you some wisdom here. Basically, they said, don't do it. Keep yourself pure. Wisdom from the Bible. Let God set aside someone for you for marriage. You be faithful to God. He will be faithful to you. Well, that's not conventional worldly wisdom. That's godly wisdom that was passed down to me. And thank God that that was passed to me. Or when my friends began partying and drinking, and my dad said to me, and I looked quickly for it in Proverbs, but I couldn't find it. He says to me, just remember, Lowell, beer is a brawler. I was like, what does that even mean? He just basically told me, once you begin to drink beer and alcohol and you get drunk, that it is a slippery slope, that things will not be the same for you. And so I avoided alcohol because it says in the Bible, beer is a brawler. Wine leads to sluggardness. You could become a sluggard or a slaggard. Something like that. It doesn't result in good things. So I stayed away from alcohol. It was a lesson that I learned not from making the mistake of getting drunk and falling over and all the pain that comes along with that. Thank God that I didn't have to learn that lesson the hard way. Thank God that He provides wisdom in His Word to guide us each day. The first place that we can gain wisdom is from God. It's the same place that Solomon gained wisdom. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6 says, "The Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding." Well, from His mouth. That is the Word of God. The Bible is to us God's Word, living and active. The Lord gives wisdom and understanding through His Word. And Solomon referred to the statutes of the Lord and the law, or the law of Moses. Now, he didn't have the benefit of 66 books of the Bible like we do. The problem is that according to George Barna Research Group, in the last 25 years, Bible readership among believers has declined severely. Now only 37% of Americans read the Bible at least once a week, not including during the morning worship service or a weekend worship service. The greatest decline in readership, and this was a little bit of a shock to me, the greatest decline in readership of the Bible by generation was among those who are 66 years or older. To me, that stat seemed backwards. And what was even more backwards is that it's the younger generation, the millennials, who have seen the greatest increase in Bible readership over the last 25 years. Do you think maybe somebody's looking for wisdom? On average, there are 88% of homes own one or more Bibles in America. And the number of Bibles ends up being about 4.7 Bibles per household, for every household in America. Well, if only 88% of owns home one or more Bible, there's a great number of people who own way more than 4.7 Bibles in their home. Ownership of Bibles is up. Readership of Bibles is down. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask the one who gives wisdom. From his mouth comes wisdom and understanding. The second place that we gain wisdom is from the generation that precedes us. Listen to the phrases that Solomon repeats in the first 9 chapters of Proverbs. 1 verse 8, listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Or Proverbs 2 verse 1, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you. 3 verse 1, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. 4 verse 1, listen, my sons, to a father's instruction, pay attention and gain understanding. 4:20, my son, pay attention to what I say, listen closely to my words. 5 verse 1, my son, pay attention to my wisdom, listen well to my words of insight. 6 verse 20, my son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Do you see a pattern? Where is wisdom flowing? In this instance, it's from father to son. Solomon sharing wisdom with the generation that precedes him, his sons. And as we read these passages, they're not just meant for sons. They're meant for daughters as well. But when we look at these passages, we perceive ourselves to be the ones receiving instruction. We often think of those times when a parent or an elder or a teacher spoke into our lives and imparted wisdom to us. Sometimes we may not have been very receptive to the words from the wise, but we often think of what we received when we read these kinds of verses. Yes, somebody older than me spoke into my life. Let me paraphrase the sentiments of Mark Twain. When I was a young man of 17, my father didn't know a thing. When I became a young adult of 21, I was amazed at how much he had learned in those few years. What really changed? Mark Twain's perspective on what Dad knew. You know, we need to sit at the feet of our spiritual fathers and mothers in order to gain wisdom. That much is obvious from the texts that we've read. What is less obvious, but is implied, is that you have a responsibility to pass on wisdom, commands, teaching, and insight. Proverbs chapter 4 gives insight into the passing down through generations. Solomon here is speaking about his father, David, and he says this, when I was a boy in my father's house, he taught me, and he said, lay hold of my words with all your heart, keep my commands, and you will live. Now that wasn't a threat. He's referring to living a long life by keeping wisdom. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. And then, interestingly, Solomon reiterates this exact same advice earlier in the book, almost word for word from what David told Solomon. David passed it to Solomon. Solomon passed it to his sons. And the pattern is then established for how wisdom is transmitted from one generation to the next. What wisdom did David pass on to Solomon? Well, we don't have time to read the entire Psalms this morning, or all of 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles, but maybe we can look to the last words that David spoke to Solomon, because I think that this probably is an echo of what he'd been telling him from his youth. 1st Kings chapter 2, verse 3. David's dying words to Solomon. Observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in his ways and keep his decrees and his commands, his laws and requirements, as is written in the law of Moses, so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go, and that the Lord may keep his promise to me. If your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. That was God's promise to David. Now David's promise to Solomon. The only way that David could ensure that his descendants would walk faithfully before the Lord was to impress upon Solomon the need to walk faithfully before the Lord, and impress that upon his sons, the need to walk faithfully before the Lord. Each subsequent generation needed to take on the responsibility of passing on the statutes of the Lord to the subsequent generation. That hasn't changed today. We have a responsibility to pass on true wisdom to the generations that follow us. That does not mean only your own children, but to those who are young in the faith as well. Those who are younger than you, or who have less wisdom than you, you are a source of wisdom to others. The question is, what kind of wisdom will you pass on? Will you pass on the worldly wisdom that you've gained? The idioms that fill our English vocabulary, like better to have one in the hand than two in the bush? You know, somebody asked me where that was in Proverbs. It's not. It's not a bad saying. It's just not from the Bible. You know, each of us has that responsibility. We've heard some testimony this morning about how wisdom has been passed on from one generation to the next. You know, we refer to this Sunday as Vintage Sunday or Legacy Sunday, and talk often about what legacy we're going to leave behind. And when we talk about it in worldly terms, quite often it has to do with making sure that your will is up to date, that you have savings to last till the end of your life, and that you have something to pass on to your grandchildren or children. You've got something to give away. But let me say, I don't care how wealthy you are, there's nothing that you can leave behind as far as possessions and wealth that is worth what wisdom is worth. Do you remember how Solomon described wisdom at the beginning? It's like rubies. It's like precious metal. It's precious gems and stones. It's got more investment return than gold. You cannot put a price on it. It is the most valuable thing that you can pass on to the people who you love in the generation that is coming up behind you. But not just worldly wisdom, like buy low, sell high. It's worldly wisdom. Biblical wisdom says, honor the Lord with a tenth of your income and your barns will be overflowing. That's actually countercultural as far as wisdom goes. Wisdom says, do not give your money away. Hold on to it. Biblical wisdom says, be generous and watch God be generous to you. Biblical wisdom versus worldly wisdom. I would encourage you, as those who, and this is who makes up the majority of the congregation this morning, those who bear the responsibility of passing on wisdom, please make sure that you're passing on biblical wisdom. Don't pass on your opinions unless it lines up with Scripture. What kind of wisdom will you pass on? Will it be worldly wisdom that you have gained through tough experiences or hard knocks of life? Not saying that it's bad wisdom, but what kind of wisdom should we pass on? But true wisdom, wisdom that comes from the mouth of God and from godly people that have spoken into our lives, pass that on to others. The source of true wisdom is the mouth of God. Go to the source so that you will have something really worthwhile to pass on. An inheritance that will not be squandered away, but one that can be used and passed on to the next generation. Encourage others to drink deeply of the Word of God, not only in your words, but your actions. Demonstrate what it is to be a man or woman of the Word. Obey the statutes and commands of the Lord. Let your life be wisdom's voice. At the beginning of Proverbs, Solomon says that wisdom cries out in the street. Her voice is heard in the streets, but nobody pays attention. Let your life. Be the voice of wisdom crying out to a world. Whether people listen or not, that's their responsibility. But your responsibility is to pass on true wisdom. Your responsibility is to let your life be wisdom's voice. The challenge to all of us is to look for wisdom as for silver. And we're going into a little bit of a mining boom, it seems, around here. And people are digging for all kinds of precious metals in the hills up here. And people are going to all kinds of lengths to get into the ground to find copper and gold and silver and molybdenum. Look for wisdom as for silver. Search for her as hidden treasure. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Get wisdom, though it costs you all that you have. Esteem her, and she will exalt you. She will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor. Read the word, heed the wisdom of those that have gone on before you, guide others in the way of wisdom, and the days of your life will be many. James chapter 3, as we close, verse 13. To 18. Two kinds of wisdom. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom, quote unquote, does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is, first of all, pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness.